Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
I think we're just going to jump right into this, guys. So welcome.
We're going to go ahead and just start.
We're just going to start the podcast. We're not going to talk about anything irrelevant for 45 minutes and then start. We're just going to start the podcast now.
We're just going to just do it.
We're just going to do the damn thing. We're going to do the podcast, and we're talking about work. Work is traumatic. Behavioralism, and Jeff brought this new thing to me about radiation guns. Had no idea. Looks like a hairdryer.
Yep, looks just like a hairdryer. Yep. First of all, let's do some quick shout-outs to our patron saintess.
Our patron Lady Saint patron of traumatica. Tiffy Stallsworth.
Yes, thanks, Tiffy. You are the wind beneath our wings.
We thought about quitting a long time ago, but because she listens, we have kept it going.
Well, we're just afraid if we stop, there won't be any more shout outs and she will come to our homes. She will find us and come to our homes and possibly harm us.
Yeah, she will. Also want to give a shout out to Vivian, who listens a lot. Thank you, Vivian, for listening and sharing the post. And
thank you very much, Vivian.
I see some people in Arkansas. If you're listening from Arkansas and you're digging us, leave a comment so we can shout you out. Or if you prefer not to be shouted out. Yeah, there's like seven people.
We've made it to the big time. That if we're in Arkansas, we have made it.
There's seven in Arkansas. There is one random person in California. So thank you, random person in California, and one random person in New York. Again, if you guys want shout outs, just let us know.
There's seven people in Arkansas listening to us.
Yeah.
Or one person's listened seven times.
It could be one person listening seven times, or it could be seven people listening one time. That's a good question.
So we're big in Arkansas. We're sort of big in Arkansas.
Well, there's 25 listens in Tennessee, so we really have the home state.
Gotcha. Okay, we got our home state advantage. But then Arkansas, that's our bread and butter growing up, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's our.
I don't know what I'm saying. It's been a long day, man.
I know. You've been around just like around at your job.
Woo! Well, I think let's let the cat out of the bag. Our last episode was so subversive, so dangerous, that we believe the government erased it. Or I believe that.
Right. So we need to tread lightly with the work talk, right?
Yeah. Because whoever is that person is in New York seems to be a TBI, FBI, CIA, NSA agent of some sort that immediately hears it and then goes to their people and they, you know, take the giant magnet guns and just shoot them at us and then it erases the tape.
Not the magnet gun. They got radiation guns and magnet guns?
Yeah. So, some people may not know how a podcast works. We are recording on reel-to-reel tape.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that reel-to-reel tape, if it gets near magnets, it's a race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when there's not a big enough pencil to ravel it back if it gets unraveled, too. So we could lose things out of order. Keep things very analog here at Everything is Traumatic.
We do.
But,
we do.
So we need to tread lightly with work. We can't say that work is traumatic, though.
Yes, work is traumatic, and I think maybe we dived into socialism a little bit bit deeply last week.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think it was legit. So we're going to recreate some of what we did last week and then maybe add some new things.
Yeah. Some new thoughts now that we've kind of stewed on it a little bit. Like it is weird. Like, fuck, it just sucks that this is what life is, is that you work, you have to work, you have to have a job in order to do anything.
You know, and we, you know, it used to be worse. I mean, the 40-hour work week came from a decrease in everybody worked all the time. There were no rules. There were no nothing. And then unions came in and were like, let's, or it might have been Henry Ford. Somebody created a five-day,
It was
40-hour
Henry
work
Ford.
week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you, Jeff.
No, you're fine, man. So we're about due for another change in the amount of work we're supposed to do.
100%. I 100% agree with that. And I think I think a big problem is that a lot of companies and corporations are not willing to make that change. We don't have a Henry Ford to
No.
to think about this.
No,
You know?
we've got Elon Musk.
Yeah, okay, yeah. He's gonna fuck it all up, so I don't want to rely on him.
Everything he touches seems to literally and figuratively catch on fire. You're just driving down the road in your car and boom, it's on fire.
It is amazing that a human being can literally just start a dumpster fire just like that with anything he touches and buys. It just goes to shit.
The only thing that seems to be okay, because he didn't create Tesla, he bought it. He may have popularized it. SpaceX seems to be doing okay, and but I'm wondering how detached he is from that. Maybe he's just like way behind, just then gives the money to it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's just funding it, you
Yeah.
know. And I think what's worse is, for one, it sucks that we have to work. So we got that first bullet point. It sucks working. I mean, I don't know. I
Work
enjoy
sucks.
working. Work sucks. I know.
I mean, there are parts of work, and I'm just speaking for myself, that I really enjoy. Like tonight, I went and talked to a nursing class to just tell them we did counseling services, and they were so kind and grateful that I just came and talked to them for a few minutes. They smiled, and it's like, this is the future of healthcare. So that was a very nice work thing because there was like, oh, this feels good. These people are interested. But then there's all that time in between where you are bored or you're just don't want to be there or you'd rather be somewhere else kind of thing. And I work a pretty like white, definitely white collar job. So I mean, there are some people that can't, they don't have the moment to even stop and take a break. They're just working.
I mean, I agree with you. There are good points to working, obviously. Like I'm kind of over exaggerating when I say like work sucks. Sometimes it is satisfying, and like I think it's just like doing the work that you want to do. But it's
Yeah.
also good to help people. But it's just the grind of it. How our society is set
Yes.
up as like this grind system of like there's a thing called hustle culture. There's hustle culture. There's
Yes.
like wake up and get this bread. There's all this other stuff that's just like, why? What's wrong with just like resting?
Well, we've gone from the culture of the 50s where one person could have a job, pay for a house, a car, food, school, whatever. And so to the culture of how many extra jobs do you need just so you can stay afloat? So you got to work the full-time job, but then you got to hustle.
And
The
then you get.
hustle is just like the side hustle they've made, like, oh, the side hustle. But it's just like, how many things do you have to do to actually be able to live in an apartment and feed your family? You got to work three extra jobs.
And there shouldn't be this side hustle. There shouldn't be this passive income. There shouldn't be. You should be able to afford the things that you should be able to afford housing and food and to take care of your loved one or loved ones in your immediate household, family, whatever, and still have time to do things that you enjoy and want to pursue, you know?
Yeah. You should be, yeah. I mean, the whole idea, it's like a caste system almost, you know, like the fast food job. You know, it used to be that that probably was more of an entry level job, or some people would be managers or whatever. But now it's something that some people do to survive, but you can't survive on the fast food job. You can't. It doesn't matter how much they're paying you. If you are a hourly worker, you can't survive on that. Plus, you probably don't get benefits. So you have to have those side hustle jobs. And so you work all the time. And we encourage that as a culture. How long do you work? Oh, he's a hard worker. He works 70 hours a week. He's always at work. Work, 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 work.
And the big problem is that the side hustle has to fall in line and be taxable, you know? Because Jeff,
Yes.
I don't, there are so many times that I've just daydreamed about being a drug dealer.
Yeah.
And not
You
like
don't
a
have to pay
major.
taxes, do you?
No, I don't think so. I
Yeah,
wonder if that
right?
helps if you just slide a little money to the IRS and you're like, this is my passive income. This is my side hustle.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we've talked about like sex work before. But the whole idea of its value. So you can make a lot more money selling drugs than you could in a 40-hour a week job. You can make a lot more money in sex work than you could in a 40-hour a week job. Because what do we value, right? What do we,
Oh
you
yeah.
know,
Ooh, that's a
the
weird.
value of, yeah.
I hadn't thought
Yeah.
about that, Jeff. Yeah, because I mean, we absolutely value drugs and sex way more than just sitting at a fucking desk and emailing
Yeah.
Karen.
And we also have made those things sort of
Taboo.
either outlawed or on the fringes. And so instead of like making them legal and taxing them or whatever, you know, we have these fringe lines. And so, like, you know, if you can go and work in, and let's just use, and I'm not going to, sex work in a no means is a, I'm not trying to use it as a negative.
Right,
I'm
sex
just
work
trying to say,
is
you know,
real
that
work. It is 100%.
sex work is
Yeah.
work. Let's say you work at a strip club. You're a dancer. You might work a 4 or 5 hour shift and make $600. Where else are you going to make $600 in 4 hours? You're not. You know, that's $125 an hour. So unless you are a executive of some sort, it's quick money and it's good money, and it's hard work. I assume drug dealing is hard work. I don't know.
I mean, any pot dealer that I've known, like it is hard work, I guess. I don't know. It seems like a lot of them just sit at home. But then again,
Yeah.
that's the difference between like selling pot and then like selling something heavy, you know?
Oh, right.
I'm sure
Yeah.
that is a little more shady. The environment's a little more tense and the dealer himself is just a little, I don't know. Like I also think about Boogie Nights when you've seen Boogie Nights, right?
Oh yeah, great
Yeah,
movie.
the final part where like they go to the drug dealer's house and that guy's just like
Oh yeah.
lighting firecrackers on the
Fireworks.
floor. Yeah.
That's one of the most unsettling scenes in cinema. In the whole of cinema. That scene is very disorienting and horrifying.
God, and yeah, I guess that's the bad side. Well, I mean, I guess there's a good and a bad side to drug dealing. Depends on the drug.
Well,
And I
it's
mean,
interesting. Have you ever seen the thing where they start with the cocaine in the forests of Colombia and then sort of follow it through the food chain, so to speak?
no.
So it starts like, so the people that get it, and I mean, they do all this crazy stuff to cocaine. It's like gasoline and all this stuff but I mean, all these chemical things. But so like, it's worth like $100. So those people get paid $100, and then it goes to the next level and next level and next level. And by the time it gets to a kilo of cocaine, its value is $150,000. So it start, we pay the, even the person that takes the risk and starts the process, they get paid nothing. It's at the end game when it's gone, been processed through all the levels, when it gets to ready to be dealt is when it has value, you
Right.
know.
And that makes sense because I mean, at that point, it's in its rawest form to be consumed, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, is still work. Like I said earlier, sex work is still like real work. Like it takes a lot of talent to dance on those poles. I have found.
Yes, you have had some experience in the strip club business. You know, I think about the people that run cartels or a successful drug ring, even a local small one. That's a lot of work. I mean, the cartel people are figuring out how to get the product, how to, I mean, they're businessmen with machine guns and they'll chop your arm off and torture you. But I mean, they're figuring out how to get the product and distribute it and to, I mean, and you're going against all, you have to keep it, it's illegal, so you have to do all this stuff. But you can't tell me that we couldn't stop the drug flow across the border if we wanted to.
Well, I am a big supporter of legalizing all the drugs.
I'm with you there. I'm with
Because
you.
if you just regulate it, like it's you can't get rid of it. You're not people are going to get stuff off the street all the time, regardless. People still get guns off the street, even though guns are loosely regulated. But if drugs were regulated, then I think it would be perfect just because
Which
it would be more regulated. You would know that addicts are at least going to get something that's clean instead of something that is laced with something
right.
deadly.
Yeah. But I mean, and I totally agree with you that I'm for that. Decriminalization at the very least, and for certain drugs, many drugs, you just legalize. You legalize and regulate.
Yeah, you
You
can't.
know,
It's
but
don't pick and choose. 'Cause if you pick and choose, then don't know. That just feels like a you'll fall for anything type of thing. Like, just legalize them all and regulate them, and then treat them like beer commercials, where someone has
had a hard day at
to
work. Shoot heroin into your cough.
like. I want the guy.
Coca-Cola brand heroin. It's clean. Shoot it in there.
I want the commercial of like the guy coming up to the bar and the bartender just slides him a fucking crack pipe and a fucking torch. Jack Daniel's old formula crack cocaine.
I got the ad. The guy comes up to the bar. It's Christmas. He looks across the bar and he goes, "All my veins are just blown. I need you to shoot it into my eye." And it says, "Do something nice for someone for Christmas." And the next shot is him like injecting the heroin into his eye.
If you got the spoon, we got
Do
the
do do
H.
do, yeah.
Yeah,
Coca-Cola brand heroin.
ambusher fucking heroin light.
You know Coca-Cola would be all over.
Oh,
I mean, they used to
they're
have it in
putting
there.
yeah, they're putting cocaine back in.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, it wouldn't take 5 minutes before these companies were like, "All right, it's legal
God,
now."
they would. That's what I want to see though, because it's gonna be so fucking. That's like the greed of it. Like, oh, this can profit now. This is legal. Fuck yeah, fucking.
Yeah.
We got fucking pineapple mango flavored crack.
Having a bad day, want to escape from the kids? Heroin.
Not off a little. It's just
Not off a bit.
looks like that man cave's turning into a heroin den. That's terrible. Okay, but
Lord.
if you
All
do
right.
have
Sorry.
a if
Yeah.
yeah if you have an addiction, please get help. And we don't.
Usage disorders are serious things, but I think we saw a very good lesson of what we learned during Prohibition. When you make something illegal, you create a black market.
People want it more.
Yeah. And you just create organized crime. And organized crime, just like cartels, they don't care about the end user. And I'm not sure Coca-Cola cares for the end user.
The only
Coca-Cola, if you want to sponsor us, we are very willing to have your sponsorship. We are not slamming you in any way, but I mean, the
but
cartels are, I mean, at least there would be some kind of regulation where it's like you can't put like gasoline and fentanyl and everything.
And I think that's what it like. So this all does tie into work because we're talking about the alternatives of not playing within the system,
Yes.
right? Like, alternatively, you could do this black market dealing or whatever, or do illegal shit, or fucking collect copper wire or whatever. I don't know. I mean, that's legal. What I'm getting at, though, is that so it's better to play within the system, but if the system is inherently fucking, for one, just systematically racist, systematically against poor people, and only there to benefit the rich, it's not a fun fucking game to play.
Well, that levels the playing field a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Wait, how?
Yeah,
how
but so? What people have done is find ways to make money to survive, and sometimes these sex work is work. I'm sure drug dealing is work.
Drug dealing, but sometimes is real think, work.
It becomes very risky.
Yeah.
Some of that becomes risky because everything is aimed at the person that's doing it instead of the person that's buying it. So, like, if somebody is a sex worker, escort, or whatever, that person is at higher risk, and they're more likely to be put in jail or arrested than the person that's paying for the service. It's just like, to me, sex work should be, all sex work should be legal. Yep. And you regulate it like they do in Nevada.
Yep. And, you know, like, what's the difference between that and then the person, the fucking CEO or businessman that's like shortchanging their fucking employee so they can get a bigger bonus? Like, to me, I don't see a difference in that.
Yeah.
Either way, someone's getting fucked.
This is going to be a race. There's no way that this makes it to air. They're listening. I mean, I think they're erasing it right behind as we speak. It's
as
being
we
erased.
Speak?
Like, every word is being erased as we get
just
to
slowly.
It.
Slowly. It's being blimped.
We're going to get a call from, like, some of our sponsors and, like, we were with you guys. We really liked what you were doing until that episode. We can't support it anymore. I'm sorry. We cannot put our names on that.
Yeah, this is the Alienate Everyone episode.
Screw everybody. We're making a podcast.
But one of the things that you mentioned last week that I was just super intrigued about was like the behavioralism and the book that was written by Skinner.
Yes, B.F. Skinner.
B.F. Skinner.
B.F. Skinner. I remembered his name between last week and now. Yeah, B.F. Skinner, a behavioral giant of conditioning animals. He did all kinds of things with animals, but he also believed that we are conditioned, we are born empty, we are like a board to be written upon, and whatever we are exposed to, we will become that.
Right.
There's nothing sort of inside of us that makes us who we are. It's totally based on our environment and how we are, how we grow up. So it's totally nurture.
Yeah, was that the nurture versus nature? Or
yes, yes.
Like,
and most of us believe that nature versus nurture, there's a balance, that you come with some stuff and then you learn some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like some people are predisposed to have a heart attack, certain people are predisposed to be depressed or anxious or have schizophrenia, and depending on the stress you're under, the environmental things make certain things worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it's a mix of both. But yeah, he wrote a book called Walden 2 that was a utopian society. And there have been some societies that do these kind of things. Sometimes it happens in cults too. But the whole idea
which is interesting that cults apply this kind of, which like, okay, like, yes, cults are bad. But like some of these things you mentioned, I thought were really insightful and could actually help.
Yeah. So like one of his ideas was so if you had a job that was harder or less pleasant, like maybe a janitor job or whatever, you would work less hours. So you would pick, I'm going to do the hard job, but I only have to work 2 hours a day. And then somebody that does an easier job might have to work 6 or 8 hours a day. So they're balancing it. So I'm like saying, I'll do the 2 hours because then I'm done. And then I have the rest of the day to myself. Somebody might say, well, I don't want to do that job, so I'll work 6 hours, so I don't have as much time. So it was sort of this balancing out some of the things with behavioral techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody raised the kids. So it was sort of like people helped with the kids. And also he believed like in environmental things. So you would have the children in a nursery and you would keep the temperature a certain type. You would not have diapers
Okay.
because diapers cause rashes and things. And so you would have a temperature control. You wouldn't have people in and out as much. You would have, so you're controlling the environment so the babies won't get sick or as
Right,
sick.
right.
So it's kind of those kinds of ideas, behavioral techniques to have a society.
So with the everyone raising kids, does that mean everyone is like, is it that everyone is in a relationship, or it's like it can still be this monogamous, really monogamous relationship,
No,
or this,
it's a huge orgy all the
it's a
time. It's
huge
like a human
polycule, this,
centipede.
yeah.
Yeah, no. So I think, and that's been a long, it's been a long time since I read the book, but yeah, you could be a couple and you could have a baby. The idea is that that would be one of the jobs, right? So some people would like, I want to take care of the kids. And so they would raise the kids. And so it was sort of a community thing, but also people that would be their job. So the other people could do their jobs. And
Right.
so it wasn't like indoctrination for the kids. It was just what's going to be best for these kids. We take care of them. They get love. Their parents are able to work. Their parents are also able to do other things. And we take care of each other. Sort of like some communism thrown in there, too. We're taking care of each other. We all own the same things. We're all together in this unit, kind of thing. There's a lot more to it. It's an interesting book, but those are some of the things I remember. That came from that book.
And like I just think it's interesting because like capitalism is like everything against
Yeah.
that thought of like it's a communal thing. Like I feel like, what is it? I think I read like just a post on Facebook the other day, or maybe even it was today, but it's like, and it's something I never even thought about, but how capitalism kind of goes hand in hand with imperialism, and how a lot of the world has been sort of Americanized in a way. Like not fully, obviously, but like in a lot of like basically all the places that have a McDonald's.
Anywhere that has been, and when you think about the beginnings of capitalism, I think that there were times when capitalism worked because it was about people beginning with very little and creating something big. And it did come from hard work and things like that. And so, but you had a middle class and you still had the very, very, very wealthy. But there was not the separation like there is. People could live, and what's happening is that the middle class is now becoming, there is no middle class. So you've got the wealthy and you've got the poor. And you still have people that are in comfortable levels, but that's changing because a house 20 years ago cost 150 and now it costs 400,000. And so wages have not increased as much. Rent has increased so much so that you can't keep up. You can barely get an apartment, if you even can, on a minimum wage 40-hour a week job. You can't even purchase housing for yourself with one minimum wage job.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people, at least in my generation, I've noticed, are looking towards basically their parents dying and inheriting that.
Yeah. And see the way people generally have gained wealth is through a house. Because you buy a house, you get equity in it, you can borrow against it, you can sell it and buy a bigger house, or you can sit on it and then you can borrow from that. And so that's the way a lot of people built equity. And with redlining and things like that in the United States that were just government things, we took away the attempt for certain races, black people, to get houses. And so they have a wealth discrepancy. They have started later, so they don't have the wealth because that's where the wealth comes from. You bought a house, you built it up, and then you passed it on or you sold it or whatever. And then you also had a system of what do you call it? Pension. You would work for your company and then they'd take care of you. We don't have that anymore, and for the most part.
I mean,
You're on your own, right?
pretty much. Like, I mean, yes, there are some companies that will do that, but it's not a common practice anymore. And
No.
especially, you're asking a lot of loyalty for that. Like,
What they do now is like they'll match something. So you put in 100, they'll put in 100. And so it's pushed back on you. And so now it's not like, it's like, so everything is on me. It's like, because, and why does the company do that? Because it's cheaper for them.
Yes,
Pensions are
exactly.
expensive. It cuts into the profit margin.
And
And so
it's. Oh, go
when
ahead.
you oppress people, and when people can't eat, it's different if you can't have a nice car. If you can have a car, it's different. But if you can't eat and you can't live and you can't take care of your family and you can't get medicine, people get to the point where eventually it just boils over. And then there's something like the French Revolution.
Let them eat cake. Wait, that wasn't, was that the same event?
Oh, yeah, that was Marie Antoinette. I think it's Newt. Antoinette.
Antoine Newt. Yep, let them eat cake, and we fucking did. And you know, it was like that. Ooh, is that thing you said last week about the Black Lives Matter interview with the lady that was just like, "We built it, we can
We can
burn it
burn it down.
down." And I think
And
that's what a lot of us are forgetting.
I think when we look back at societies, this is what we're talking about. These discrepancies get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then the majority of the people get, I mean, they do it in France all the time. I mean, France is always like burning stuff and blockades and stuff. I mean, they're good at protesting, you know. But I think what we're seeing, maybe some hopefulness, is like the unions are coming back. I saw a post on Twitter about, like, I think McCays is trying to unionize
Yes, I saw that
McCays
too.
Books. And so, I mean, I think unions had a time, and then they were not needed as much, and now they're needed again. And so the union is rising again because I think people are tired and they understand the power of collective bargaining.
And
Look what just happened at UPS.
Absolutely. Yeah, they threatened to go on strike, and everyone kind of puckered up their butthole, and they were like, "Well, just give them the
But at the end of the day, everybody wins. And some people would say, well, no, the company doesn't win, but the company gets to stay in business because the work and the workers get treated. And it's like a fight, and they argue a little bit, and then you come to a, it's like you, nobody gets 100% of what they want. You come to the middle. And that's what we don't do in our country. We don't come to the middle. It's one way or the other. And I'm assuming maybe eventually the writers and the actors strike will do that. I mean, it will have to eventually.
If the companies want to play ball, like that's what I think is happening. It's not that the workers are getting lazy. It's not that nobody wants to work anymore. It's that nobody wants to be exploited anymore. Nobody wants to like, and you know, maybe the pandemic that did do have a lot have a lot to do with this, because companies were seeing record profits, and now they see that and they have to, in their heads, they have to match that in order to turn a profit. They're trying to be a
It
little
becomes
more,
greed. It's just greed. It's like there's enough money in Hollywood for everybody. But most actors are middle class or lower. You know, we hear about the George Clooneys and the Brad Pitts and the Jennifer Lawrences that are making.
Those are all people that have been in the game for about 30, 40 years.
Yeah, they've been in, I mean, they have, but also those are the top. I mean, that's the, there's a handful of people that make millions of dollars. Most people make about 20, 24, 25,000, you know, actors, writers. And so all we're saying is let's let people live. Let's let people have enough money to live. And some people, it's actors and it's writers. Those things are important. We need art. We need creativity. We need entertainment. We need beauty and tragedy. That's one of the things I think that keeps us moving, is that we are interested in that. And that's why we work, so we can have money to go do some beautiful things, to see some beautiful things, to have stories that, you know, it's sort of corny, but there are movies and there are plays and music that make life livable.
Oh, you're speaking to the choir on that, Jeff. Absolutely. I mean, I live for it. It's
Yeah.
the only thing for me that delivers the goods is movies, music,
So to me, like
TV
a ideal
shows,
job
art.
would be, art. Oh, just, and that's been forever before there were movies and whatever. But an ideal job would be a job that you can get paid enough to survive and take care of your family, a job that you can take pride in, a job that you can make a difference, and then a job that you have time off from so that you can enjoy the world, enjoy what it has to offer.
And see, like for me, I want to make my, and I hate referring to it as this, but there isn't a better word for it. But I want to make my hobby my job. And I want to do the thing that I'm really passionate about, and make enough just to live. And then, yeah, enjoy the world and see what, because like it's this cycle of like you, art is a reflection of the world. In order to give that reflection, you have to take in the world and you have to see things and experience things and have experiences. I mean, that's like it's the cycle, life and art, and they just fucking 69 each other, all fucking art.
And you know what pisses me off? And then I'm not gonna say anything else that pisses me off. I hate it when I go to a restaurant and they ask me if I want to round up for charity. It's like I give to some charities. I believe in some stuff. I'm okay supporting certain things. But then they're gonna turn around and say, Hardee's gave $1.5 million to charity. It's like, no, your customers gave $1.5 million. And you're using it as a tax write-off. Don't ask me for money, corporation. You give your own money. Don't ask me to match things. I'll give money to the charities that I believe in. I don't want to round up for the Boys and Girls Club. Boys and Girls Club is a great organization, but Hardee's can give money to the Boys and Girls Club
They don't need us
without
to
my
do it.
money. And
So,
if the Boys and Girls Club wants to sponsor us, we're all 100%
of course,
behind that.
I would suggest adding a they them section to it, but whatever.
Yes, yeah, the boys, maybe just a person's club.
Persons Club.
Yeah.
So well, I think I want to wrap things up with this radiation gun that you mentioned.
Yeah.
This is
Oh yeah.
Chekhov's radiation gun. So the government has a radiation gun, Jeff?
I don't want to confirm or deny, but
If they did.
if they did, it would look like a hairdryer.
And it
I
shoots out.
saw Oppenheimer, and I think that pretty much they were talking about this. I think that was the beginning of the radiation guns. It doesn't actually show the radiation gun, but I'm pretty sure I saw one.
Okay. And so is it so like does it shoot the radiation forward, or is it just like a hairdryer where it's like a constant stream?
It just sort of blows it around. It's not very powerful radiation. It just sort of blows it around a little bit. It might make you feel a little sick, but
Not enough to get any readings on the Geiger counter, huh?
no, there's no Geigering.
No
There's
Geigering.
not any Geigering.
The radiation gun now with less Geigering.
Yes. That could be one of our products.
The new Geigering gun?
You know what would be a great product?
Let's hear it,
You just
Jeff.
take the top off a Coke and the heroin needle just rises up and you just stab it in your arm. It's all like a one, like just one thing.
If you got the
And then you
spoon,
can We've got the time.
time to
Coca-Cola heroin.
nod, time to nod. Hold on, we gotta think of like we gotta see like what some slang terms for heroin would be, because I know H is one, and
Horse,
dog horses. Yeah, that makes
Mac,
sense. Mag,
Smack,
Mac,
Smack,
Mac, like MAC.
SMACK,
S
Smack.
smack, duh. Smack a cola, duh.
Yeah.
If you got the spoon, we got the belt. Smack a
We got this
gorilla.
right. Now with less vomiting.
But less zero vomiting, still that not off feeling.
You're probably still going to vomit, but less vomiting.
It's only 50% less.
The 50% less vomiting.
Mm.
That's the thing that would happen with it. If companies were making this, it'd be all this. I mean, I know we need to stop, but I mean, it'd be all this, you know, improved stuff. Like now with less sugar, less calories, less vomiting, you know, more nodding.
More speed, less jitters.
Less constipation. Less constipation. They just put a little laxative in it, right?
Yeah, so that way it doesn't stop you. It is it
now
is,
with Metamucil.
It's a terrible.
You just put some. You just put some Metamucil crystals in that needle.
It's a very terrible, very distasteful joke, but I love it.
We are not advocating the use of any type of substances or harming oneself, but I think what we're trying to say is that the whole. When you make something illegal, you create a black market, which brings a nefarious and dangerous way to things.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't want a black market, make the system better for the common person.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
if the system was better, people wouldn't be using drugs or an escape. And I mean, there is an addictive nature to that. But a lot of people, if you're on the street, you have nothing. You know, that might be something you do because you're miserable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if you had a house, you're less likely to use heroin.
This crack den can become a crack home.
Yes.
And you know, Jeff, I think we've reached our logical conclusion. I think we kind of, I mean, do you have any final thoughts?
I think this episode is much worse than the last one we recorded. It's much more subversive. we were less socialistic, but I think we really leaned into the drug legalization, and so it might actually be worse for our reputation.
I still had plenty of socialist viewpoints, Jeff.
Oh my goodness.
Oh well, Jeff, as always, it's always great to talk to you.
It's been a pleasure. It's raised my spirits.
Yes, it's got me feeling good too. So
yes,
from all, I hope and
get
I hope
high that, on life, everyone.
And I hope it's made you guys, the listeners, feel good too. So thanks for being here and listening, all that shit. This has been Everything Is Traumatic. I'm Tyler.
I'm Jeff, and take care of yourselves.